upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Psalms 51, verse 1. Thank you for coming today. Your presence is essential, and we're glad you're here today. Christ made a statement that if he would be lifted up, he would draw all men unto himself. That's Bible. And that's all we need to do, Christian friend, is to uplift Jesus Christ, and he's going to fill this church up. So we are creatures of habit, you know, like I told you about 3 weeks ago, like, for example, Rand have his favorite seat and everything. You better claim your seat, because when these people start coming in, you're going to miss your seat. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It happened with Nehemiah. It happened with Jonah. Remember, we preached that about 4 months ago. And it's going to happen at Grace. That's as long as I keep my voice up, okay? Because we're working on that, okay? Be patient. Give me a year and I'll get it. Naturally, I'm soft-spoken. I'm not no thunderous Billy Sunday or nothing like that, okay? Oh. Did everyone just enjoy the picnic yesterday? And thank you kindly, gracious ladies, for all your support and all your time and your cooking and baking and preparation. We appreciate that, don't we? Men, let's give them a hand. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the fellowship. I had to slip out kind of early, so I apologize, you know, taking care of mother. But I'm glad. And was thrilled. And next year, let's plan on bringing some more friends, okay? Yeah. Okay. Now, turn with me in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. Nehemiah is before Psalms. So it's about three books shy of Psalms. So if you went past Psalms, over into Proverbs, you got to turn the opposite way. So, chapter 1, and the Lord's Supper that we're going to do in a few moments, it slipped my calendar. I usually don't have a slippage that far, and I thought that it was the second Sunday. So we're going to kind of condense some things, and so we can get the Lord's table together and worship God in communion, okay? Okay. So you have the book of Nehemiah? Okay. And we're going to start with the narrative here in the first chapter, starting with verse 3. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left, King James Version, Scofield, of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thy ear now be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servant, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost parts of the heaven, yet I will gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom you have redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now your ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear your name and prosper. I pray you, your servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. May the Lord restore the power of his precious eternal word. Now let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer that God will speak through his holy and spoken word. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to hear what thus saith the Lord. And Father, we want to be mindful that we will hide the word of God in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. We thank you, Lord, that we have an advocate with the Father, and it's Jesus Christ, the mediator between the Father and us, Father. And we thank you, Father, that you're the way, the truth, and the life. And we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would penetrate into the very marrows of our hearts and our souls, that we would ask for your mercy and your tender love. Speak, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The topic today, Nehemiah, a man with a mission. Nehemiah's main purpose was to simply rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and restore it to become a fortified city again. And that's where basically, as our aim or our preposition phrase, where we're going to elaborate these few moments. You know, Jesus once told Peter that I will build my church, just like Nehemiah in his day, the sanctuary, the temple, the walls. Christ said to Peter, I will build my church, and it's going to get done. And then the floodgates of hell will not even be a threat to his church. Amen. That's awesome, isn't it? Yeah. We see here in our verse here, and they said unto me, Nehemiah was challenged, was brought into a meeting. He was in a governmental position, and something had catastrophic happened. And the remnant that are left, verse 3, of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction, the situation, and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fast and prayed before the God of heaven and said, I beg you, great Jehovah, O Lord of heaven and the great in this translation, Scofield uses terrible. And terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercies for them that love him and observe his commandments. As I meditated on these scriptures and studied them, of how this servant of God, I was embarrassed of how the servant prayed with such passion, serenity, a broken heart to see the broken down city of the beloved city of the nation of Israel. And this plea, Nehemiah is praying, is like a tsunami, catastrophic type of prayer. It was a big prayer. It was a tense prayer. It was a prayer in distress. And it was the type of prayer that was needed and is needed today as we see waywardness in the household of God. And how the temple was sacked or ramshacked, and the walls were torn down, and the gates was burnt down with fire. And it was the prophet, like Jeremiah, had warned Israel of their coming wicked practices, who gave warning to the nation of Israel that it was coming. And at this point in history, it was 445 BC. The nation of Israel had been divided into two entities, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, just shy of Solomon's death. And after the death of course, Solomon's son, David's son, Solomon, the nation had failed into idolatry. This is means, or this is the act of putting things in our lives that shouldn't be. Instead of putting Christ number one, he was probably at the back burner in these Israelites' lives, turning their backs on God. We, friends, the lesson for us today is that we need to continue to put Christ the supreme in our lives. It's an example for us, isn't it? We need to be putting Christ as the supreme in our lives. This is idolatry that will get us into trouble individually and corporately as a church. Seek first the things of God and his righteousness, and these other things he's going to bless us with. We're to seek, beloved, those things which are above. What are they? Christ. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's where you and I need to set our affection on things. Amen. That don't mean that you can be too heavenly minded that you know earthly good, but we need to get our heads out of the clouds and maintain our responsibilities and pay our bills. Hello, somebody. And not to set our goals on things of this world, because this world is a passing, isn't it? I think the Dow Jones of stock market went about 1,000 points the other day. You can't Put your trust in things, because where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be. Idolatry, the sin of idolatry, judgment came. And somebody had to bail them out. And Nehemiah, he wasn't even a priest. He wasn't even a prophet. He was just something like me, just a little old laity or a layman. Right. He had a governor duties, though. Better known, he was a cup barrier. He was testing the King Artaxerxes' drinks and food and everything so they wouldn't poison it. That role, that was important, wasn't it? And God used an ordinary servant, Nehemiah, for an extraordinary duty. And what about you and I? We just ordinary people. But we serve an extraordinary God, don't we? It's beautiful. He was one of them great men that played the role in cleansing and rebuilding Jerusalem after they were sacked. And then at this time in history, there was also Zerubbabel. He was a prince. He helped rebuild God's temple. And then there was, he was on the political side. And then, of course, there was Ezra. Ezra and Nehemiah, we're told they was really one book. And I'm not a theologian and everything, but at one time it was one book. And if somehow we'll get into some hypothetical stuff and how that happened and everything. But right now, it was Ezra and of course, Nehemiah helped restore the temple. And a simple characteristic of Nehemiah, he believed in working and praying. I know the scripture teachers watch and pray, but we need to be working and praying, okay? I know this brother Randy, he be working and praying in this church. And I think he's very helpful in everything. And we're grateful for our great deacon as he is working and praying at the same time. So after the hearing this report in verse 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. He cried, the scriptures tells us. He mourned. And that mourning, it was a grief of a sorrow. How it hurt the heart of him. And he fasted. He fasted. He denied self, and he did not eat, and he had his mind solely focused on the God of heaven. Plus the knowledge of God of heaven. Just like in the book of Ezra and Daniel, Nehemiah was great. He was greatly distressed that the affairs had not advanced for the cause of the glory of God. And when we see things not justly in God's house, we need to do something about it. We need to roll our sleeves up and say, what can I do? And step up to the plate. And after all, this was touching of the apple of God's eye. This calamity that happened as this great nation had invaded God's household. It is well documented throughout history that no nation that has muscled against Jerusalem has ever survived
Look at your history. They never have survived, but they have vanished.
From Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, and then the shift to the Medes and Persians, this power, they are in the dustbin of history. The Temple Mount, listen, the Temple Mount is ground zero for God's and God's prophetic plan for the world. That's very noticeable. It has been a target for Satan, that he wants this real estate. He wants this praise. And we see here in, let me see, can I find it quickly? We see here in Isaiah chapter 14, I think it's Isaiah chapter 14. It said that Isaiah chapter 14, and it goes with this. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For verse 13, for you have said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. This has been a troublesome piece of real estate in the Middle East, and that's the goal of Satan and the evil forces that they want to get to the heart, that they want to exalt themselves, and it's not going to happen. No. You know, because the Lord have made a divine covenant, did not he, with the tiny nation, this tiny nation through whom? Abraham. And I will, and it's still pertinent and relevant today, I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses them. In you shall all families of the earth be blessed. Amen. And that's an eternal fact. I think this is the reason why we pray each week for the peace of Jerusalem. There are powerful evil forces against her. And we need to know God's people. When we pray, we unleash unprecedented power to sustain the Jewish state and the Jewish people. And have you ever thought of today the contemporary enemies of the world that's facing Israel in today's world? Have you ever thought of about that, the threat? It is a known fact that Iran is the one of the masterpiece mind, and that to destroy Israel. And this nation has utter hate of God's chosen people, by the way. And I got a published article here. It says, quote, Israel has no right to exist as a nation and have specific plans to destroy the Jewish state. That is Iran. That's their goal, according to the Friends of Zion, end of quote. Iran has a long history of funding terrorist groups like Hamas and other terrorist groups that penetrate the north and the south,
And once their goal is to destroy the nation of Israel, and to carry their third-party proxy attacks on Israel, and to disturb the Jewish businesses and the synagogues and the homes around the world. That's their plan. They say they don't deserve to be a nation. And Hamas operations from Gaza and Hezbollah from the Lebanon and Syria, centuries have come and gone, and God has used heathen nations to reprimand his people because of idolatry and sin. So as Nehemiah prays to the God of heaven in verse 5, I beg you, Lord, O God of heaven, the great and terrible God, and keepeth the covenant and mercies of them that love him and observe his commandments. Elohim is God's Hebrew name, and he's addressing that. He's addressing Almighty God. He's depending on Almighty, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and is steadfast, has a steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandment. And that's applicable for us today. As Moses, we need to keep God's commandments. You know the Ten Commandments. So after 70 years of captivity in Babylon, God kept his promise to restore his people to the promised land. Nehemiah appealed to God's character and covenant as the basis by which he must intervene and rescue God's people, and God honored him. So look in verse 6 and 7. Let thy ears be attentive and thy eyes open. Thou must hear the prayer of thy servant. Verse 7, we have dealt very corruptly against you, and have not kept the commandments and statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. God had told Moses long time ago to the Israelites in scripture that if you meet these certain criterias mandates, I was going to bless you, and if you do not, you will serve the consequences. And Deuteronomy 4:25 states, for the Lord is a consuming fire and even a jealous God. You see, when thou beget children and children's children, and ye shall have regained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord, and to provoke his anger, I will call heaven and earth to witness against this day that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land wherein ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few and number among the heathens, whether the Lord shall lead you. And verse 28, and there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hand, wood, stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. It was forecast. Moses had told the Israelites, if you would disobey Jehovah God, if you turn your backs on God, you will be scattered. And it happened in 445 BC. Look at verse 8. Go back to Nehemiah. Remember, I beg you, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses. If you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nation. And it happened.
This is an outline of the future judgment of Israel and us as a nation. It's possible. Although the Jews returned to the days after the 70 years, but they never regained their autonomy and their total dominance in the world. So in conclusion, God used the king of Persia, Artaxerxes, and appointed Nehemiah with a position of enormous trust, and not only as a cupbearer, which his name means Jehovah comforts, but he was also given a divine mandate from the God to save the nation of Israel. Nehemiah saw the vision. Nehemiah, he owned the vision because he went out. He went out in action. He took God's word in order to do what God had called him to do. Nehemiah, and he shared the vision. As God had led him to lead the work, it was not only a job he could do by himself. He couldn't do it by himself. It was a time to build, he said. And Nehemiah says, therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 20 says, and scriptures teaches not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, to get the job done. All our help comes from the Lord, folks. It comes from the Lord. And we can do all things through Christ which strengthen us. And it's the same type of courageous boldness that Nehemiah had and we can have as well. So what is your mission today for the cause of Christ? It was a Jew who brought the gospel to Rome. A Roman who took it to France. A Frenchman who took the gospel to Scandinavia. A Scotsman who evangelized Ireland. And an Irishman who in turn made the missionary conquest to Scotland. The question is, what is 750,000 miles long, in closing, reaches the world 30 times around the earth, and grows 20 miles each day? The answer is the line of people who are without Christ. We have a great mission, folks. We have a great mission. We should be a people of mission as we see the day approaching. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you. We want to be challenged like Nehemiah. We want to roll up our sleeves and do your mighty work and your deeds, because night cometh when no man can work the works of God. And we need to capitalize on the now, the day, the hour, to flesh out and put on the whole armor of God and to work our salvation, because we are saved by grace, and work it out and reach people for the cause of Christ. Thank you, Father, for a historical example of Nehemiah. And we praise your name, Father. Father, for all the goodness that you have and blessing that you have shared with us. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.